In the midst of trials and troubles that Christians go through, we need to get to the same foundation of hope as Paul the Apostle expresses right here in this text. Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph. Now, this word triumph was an ancient word firstly used in the celebration of a heathen god called Bacchus. He was the god of wine, and it was the god of victory, the god of celebration. Later, that word was used in the Roman world to celebrate the victory over battle.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church, and I trust that today the Lord will bless you through His own Word. We have a testimony time at the end of the program with S.R. Henry of Belfast, and his testimony is, "Ye must be born again." And of course, the Lord Jesus quoted that, and it's true. Ye must be born again. There is no alternative. There are no options. Every sinner dead in his sin must be regenerate, born again of the Holy Spirit, before he can be truly a child of God. Al Smith will sing for us, "He Loves Even Me." Now we begin with our message from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, and today the message is on 2 Corinthians 2:14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place." And that certainly is our burden here at Let the Bible Speak, as we seek to take the message of the gospel to you here today. May the Lord draw near and bless you through his word.
I have a text tonight. It's one verse. It's in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. "Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." I wish tonight that I could apply this to the Canucks, who this week fell flat. I don't know why. I've lived here for 27 years, and I leave for 1 week, and a riot breaks out. So no one can blame me. And of course, we are very, very disappointed with the worldwide coverage that the events in Vancouver this week receive. When you're away from Canada, normally you do not get any Canadian news. But I assure you that in Belfast and in London, this was big news, the sad events of this week. This text was the word that I left with the people at that meeting in Dr. Paisley's church, Martyrs Memorial, as they celebrated their 60th anniversary of our denomination. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." I want this word tonight to be a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word that will give us a confidence that this gospel is indeed the power of God that will overcome. The word that intrigues me in this very verse is the word "always." "Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph." Now, as we have learned, of course, sports teams don't always win. There's a winner and there's a loser. And we can't all win all the time in the world of sports. But in the work of the gospel, we can say that we do win all of the time. Now, you may just think about that and wonder, is that really true? And is this statement, could it possibly be really true that we always triumph in Christ? When we were back in our home church, we were reminded of a young couple. We really knew them many, many years ago as we were just late teenagers and early into our married lives, that this young couple raised a family in the church, and just about a year ago, their son, who was 21, was attending a Sunday evening church youth rally, where after their own church meeting, they get together with other churches. It was about 50 miles from their church. And after the service, he was leaving rather late in a wet evening, and there was a car accident, and there were three deaths, and he was one of them. Beulah's nephew was another who was in the vehicle, but survived very, very well. But it has brought great grief to this young couple. Well, they're close to our age, but they've lost their son. And it's been very, very difficult for them to get over this tragedy in their lives. And as is sometimes the case, when this kind of news comes, people can be in a state of shock for weeks and maybe months, and then reality begins to settle in, and the deep-seated hurt and sometimes resentment comes in. And I know that there are questions. Questions about why. This was a clean-cut, zealous young lad for the things of the Lord. Indeed, some had just commented that the very day in which, before he died, they had commented just how fitting his whole character, his dress, his hair, his conversation, his entering into church life. He was just a model young Christian. And that night, taken out into eternity so suddenly in that car accident. In the midst of trials and troubles that Christians go through, we need to get to the same foundation of hope as Paul the Apostle expresses right here in this text. Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph. Now, this word triumph was an ancient word firstly used in the celebration of a heathen god called Bacchus. He was the god of wine, and it was the god of victory, the god of celebration. Later, that word was used in the Roman world to celebrate the victory over battle. And when the conqueror would return to his home city, they would use this Greek word, which was triumbos. And I want you to think tonight, triumbos, the song of victory. Because I think that we as Christians, in our generation, in our situation, are in danger of losing the song of victory. And let me ask you, do you have that? Now, you're a Christian. I don't think that you would go out and say, well, I'm no longer a disciple of the Lord Jesus. I don't think that you desire to deny the very gospel that you profess. But do you have this song of victory, this song of triumph? When this victor returned from battle to his home or to the Roman city to be honored by Caesar, by the emperor, they sang this song of triumph as they returned. Some would be riding in a carriage pulled by horses, or as Pompey was honored by a carriage pulled by elephants. And this is the mood of the apostle as he writes these words. You'll see in verse 12 one hint of why he is so rejoicing and why he senses this triumph of the gospel. He says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. And of course, when God's servant experienced an open door for the gospel, there was this sense of triumphing and glorying in what God was doing. And then in verse 13, he says, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. So there was a sense of disappointment. Titus had not returned, and it was not the age of instant communication. Therefore, he may have had to wait days or even weeks to get some news. What has happened to Titus? But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Macedonia was the Greek world. It included Corinth, Athens, and so on. And as you know, the apostle had a tremendous opportunity to preach and to present the gospel. Now tonight, I want us to take this text, knowing something now of what Paul's mood was, knowing something of this word of triumph, of this song of victory. I want us to take this text to heart, and I want us to apply it that we might have such a sense of the triumphant power of the gospel that we preach. Firstly, with all those questions that I mentioned that any family may have in the midst of tragedy, and Christians do go through tragedy, I want us firstly to think of some proofs that God's people do always triumph. God's people always triumph. Note how the apostle puts this very carefully now in verse 14, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. The operative word there is in. It is similarly in the Greek language, en, from which we get in, but it means union. It means union with Christ. It's like a carpenter's dovetailing of the furniture pieces so that they are implanted and they are formed together in union. And for the Christian that is in union with the Lord Jesus, united to Him as the branch is united to the vine, truly, spiritually, in fellowship, in faith, in spiritual acceptance in Christ Jesus, it is always true. And let's take this to heart tonight. It's always true that we always triumph in Christ Jesus, because our Lord Jesus cannot fail. Our Lord always triumphed. In every situation our Lord found Himself, He always triumphed. Let's just think of a few situations. Well, firstly, in the wilderness, Matthew 4, I'm thinking of, immediately when our Lord turned 30 and is baptized, He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and that awful attack of Satan. And four times the Lord defeated Satan, triumphing through the Word, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, each and every time defeating Satan. And this is our triumphant Lord Jesus. We're united to Him. Now you and I will face temptation as our Lord did. Satan's devices, in fact, they're mentioned right here in 2 Corinthians, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul was very conscious of the prowler, the enemy going about to seeking to devour. Yet he said, we triumph through the Lord Jesus. And whatever the temptation you face, there is grace, spiritual power through your unity with the Lord Jesus. He triumphed over Satan in the wilderness. Now, I've talked about this word triumph. I've discovered that it's only found two places in the New Testament. One here, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Another time in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. The same word triumph from Thriombus. And Colossians 2 and verse 15. And of course, it's a reference to our Lord on the cross, defeating Satan. Let's read 14 and 15 together. Colossians 2, 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This is our Lord's victory at the cross. He, as a mighty conqueror, defeating all his enemies, Satan included, spoiling principalities, every demon, every brat of hell, our Lord defeated at the cross, triumphing. And fellow brother and sister, please remember, this is the Lord in whom you've trusted. This is the Lord that you're looking to conquer sin and overcome all the claims of sin and all the wicked powers of this world. You triumph through the victorious, redeeming work of the Lord Jesus. Then our Lord was triumphant also over the tomb. Now, we're in the book of Colossians, so let's stay there and go to chapter 3, verse 1. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Our Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Now, you'll notice how Paul puts it here. We are risen with Christ. This is by virtue of our union with him. We're united to him. We are in Christ. You see, God deals with his people exactly as he deals with his son. When Christ died on the cross, you died and I died by union with him. When the Lord Jesus rose from the tomb, we rose with him. When he ascended to the right hand of the Father, we, in God's mind, ascended into these heavenly places. So what does it say here? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth, for ye are dead. Your life is hid. Your life is hid. It is entered into a refuge, and we get from this kind of language, you know, the hiding of our soul in the cleft of the rock, or hiding ourselves in the wounds of the Lord Jesus. Our life is hidden, it is wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus. And the only way that we will ever get the victory in this world, the only way that we can possibly triumph, is by our union with the Lord Jesus. And Paul says, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ Jesus, in union with him, in fellowship with him.
When I think of my Savior's great love, in coming from heaven above, to die on the tree for a sinner like me, I am sure that he loves even me. I am sure that he loves even me. Sweet, makes my joy so complete when I think how he loves even me. When I think how he saves me from sin, though often ungrateful I've been, my vow I renew to be faithful and true, for I'm sure that he loves even me. I'm sure that he loves even me. I am sure that he loves even me. And his love is so sweet, makes my joy so complete. When I think how he loves even me, I am sure that he loves even me. I am sure that he loves even me. And his love is so sweet, makes my joy so complete, when I think how he loves even me.
Now we have our testimony time by S.R. Henry from Belfast. The Bible teaches us that as we come into the world, we have no spiritual home and no Holy Father. If we are to have spiritual life, we must be born again, even if we happen to be well on in years. These two things always go together. To as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the right, to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Thus the question, am I a child of God, resolves itself into one, am I born again? But to be made a child of God is to be made safe. Therefore the question, what must I do to be born into the household of God, resolves itself into the most solemn of all queries. What must I do to be saved? But Paul says to the Galatian saints, ye are all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus, which just amounts to the glad assurance that we are all brought into the safe place of the family of God by exercising faith in his Son. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you become a member of the household of faith, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, and an inheritor of everlasting blessedness. We proceed now to put men on their guard against two false ideas of the most dangerous kind. The first one takes this form. No one can know whether he is saved or not. This really amounts to the declaration that no one can know whether he has believed in the Son of God or not. For he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But if you don't know whether you have believed unto life eternal, you don't know whether you have obeyed God's command or not, which really is an absurdity. For how could God command you to believe if it were impossible for you to know whether you have done so or not? It is to be feared that this is too often a false excuse for going on in unbelief. The second mistake takes something of the following form. No one can be sure whether he has trusted the Lord Jesus in the right way or not. Your statement amounts to this, that there are a great many ways of trusting Jesus Christ for salvation, and that you don't know whether or not yours is the right one. Apply this difficulty to real life. For example, you enter into a railway carriage at a certain place, and you thereby trust the engine driver to convey you to the station mentioned on your ticket. How do you know that you are trusting him in the right way? You can soon settle this point for yourself. Take a pencil and make out a very careful list of the various ways in which it is possible for a passenger to trust an engine driver to bring him to his destination. Try it, and you will find that there is but one way of trusting the engine driver to convey your body. And there is only one way of trusting the Lord Jesus to save your soul. There is no right way and wrong way of trusting anybody for anything. You are either trusting in the right way, or you are not trusting at all. In conclusion, we bring forward a single fact which testifies in the strongest manner to the truth of these doctrines. I had on one occasion 23 communicants coming for the first time. All testified that they were saved, and 22 out of 23 told the minister in session, before whom they were examined, the day and date in which they had passed from death unto life. Now the question, of course, is, can you give a particular day and date when you were born again, when you were translated out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son? That becomes the testimony of a truly born-again Christian. For it is then that you have passed from death to life. You have been brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and that you are made an heir of eternal life and have a place in the kingdom of God. And of course, that's the great need. And I encourage you today to seek the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. My name is Ian Gollaher, and I would be glad to help you in any way I can as you seek to know the Lord. If I can open the Bible with you, if I can talk you through Bible passages and encourage you to bow the knee and seek the Lord, I'd be glad to do that. All the details are coming up now in the announcements. You will get our phone number, email, website, and so on. Thank you for listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. If I can be of any personal help, I'd be delighted to hear from you, either by phone or by email. You can call me at 604-576-1091 or email me through the website. And the website, I hope, will be a blessing to you. You will find Q&A articles. You will find other gospel literature if you want to know the way of salvation. And all the events and details of life at our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. For those who wish to join our services, but perhaps not in the area, you can join us by webcast on Sundays at 10:30 and 6 p.m. You can go to our website, cloverdalefpc.ca, and on the home page you will see the live button. It turns a bright red as soon as our services come on, at about 10:25, just before the morning service, and at 5:55, just before the 6 p.m. service. And you can join us, worship with us, and I trust that God will bless you. For our listeners in Victoria, we want to invite you along to our Victoria Free Presbyterian Church. Services are at 11 and 6. The address is 733 Van Alman Avenue. And you can go to either our website or Victoria Free Presbyterian Church website. So may the Lord bless you richly. Thank you for being a part of the program today, and we look forward to hearing from you. That's one of our great encouragements, just to know that you're listening in to our daily broadcast as we let the Bible speak.